thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. All right, praise the Lord. I'm just excited to be here, excited to be in front of you guys. Amen. It's always a privilege and an honor to be able to share a word that God puts on your heart. Amen. And first and foremost, I always want to say thank you to the Lord for speaking to me so I can have something to share. Amen. I'll tell you this, there's nothing worse than trying to do God's work in your own strength. It won't work. Just letting everybody know, it won't work. Amen. So we're going to continue on the series we started last week. Anybody remember what we talked about last week? Let's see. All right. We talked about connecting with God. Amen. We talked about connecting with God and connecting with God's. We talked about what it does. We were talking about many people want other people to change. Like if I tell my kids to change, you know, that's something that I'm supposed to do. But somebody in the world, let's say somebody in the world, let's say we go, hey, stop listening to that secular music. That music is of the devil. If they don't have a connection with God, they don't care what you said, right? Because they enjoy that. We talked about a connection with God will change your heart. And with God changing your heart, he will change many other things in your life as well. Amen. The scripture, our theme scripture is Ezekiel 36, verses 26 through 27. It says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Now, once again, when we want to see change that God can produce, because I'll tell you this, people can produce change, right? This is how people, I don't know who I was talking to. We were talking about the gym. But some people, if they desire their body to change enough, they're going to put all the work in that is required to change their body, right? So you can put work in, but how many know that the work that God does on your heart, you cannot do on yourself, right? So what begins to happen is you have somebody that tries to justify the way that they live, right? Well, I'm doing enough good things. How many people have heard people say that before? I'm doing good enough. Well, let me tell you, good enough is not going to cut it if God is looking for perfection, right? So you say, God, I can't do this on my own. I need you to change my heart. One of the prayers that I always pray is, and I said this last week, Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew within me a right spirit within. Why do we say this? Because even as a Christian, we all have to know that we still need to connect with God so that God can constantly change our hearts. All right? That's the thing about God. God does not just change your heart one time and then be like, well, he got it, because we are still living in a world of sin. We are still living in a world of flesh, right? So God must constantly change our heart so that we begin to look, think, act like him. Amen? So we must connect with God because God will change our heart. And after changing our heart, it begins to do plenty other things to us. Last week, we talked about connection with God changes the heart. And we talked about Saul and him first persecuting the body of Christ. Saul was gung-ho about persecuting everybody that said they were a follower of Jesus. So what did he do? Hey, I need clearance from the synagogues to go and basically abuse, fight, kill, even if I have to, those that are of or following Jesus, right? So that was Paul. Until he had a connection with God. On the road to Damascus, Paul was hit by God, right? Knocked off his high horse, right? What is it? Sometimes that can mean a lot right there. Knocked off his high horse. You know, we stand up tall and when we think we got it all going on, but sometimes God has to knock things down so we can realize who we really are, right? He had to blind him. Paul was blinded. Why? Because God had to lead him, right? God had to lead him. And then Paul was converted because he had a connection with God. Amen. And it changed. Ultimately, it changed his heart. It changed his thoughts. It changed his life. It changed the way he spoke. Or it changed the things that he would speak. And it changed his interactions with people. These are all things that connecting with God will do. And we're going to go over different things that we must see changed to know that we do have a connection with God. Amen. So last week we talked about Saul. This week we're going to actually read something that Paul, who is Saul, who got changed. I mean, God had to change him so much he had to just change his name. He probably didn't want to go anywhere to tell him that he was Saul no more. He's like, hey, we don't know how he came to Paul, right? Is there a scripture that talks about that? He just changed his name. Maybe he was on the way somewhere, and they were like, hey, man, don't tell him that you were Saul. Just tell him your name is Paul, right? Just why? Because there had been so much change in him because of his connection with God, right? Maybe we grew up and people used to call us certain names. Oh, or your name was synonymous with something that you used to do, right? Man, I remember this guy used to do this. This guy used to do that. So now what happens if you're a Christian and if you get saved and your heart is changed, they're going to be like, that's not the same person. We can't call you the same thing anymore. Why? Because you don't even act the same way. Why? Because that's what connecting with God will do. Amen. It's so important to get connected with God. It had changed a lot of things. And today we're talking about thoughts and behavior. One of my favorite scriptures ever since I was a young kid was Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, Jesus, God, and he will direct your paths. Now, let me just say something about that. That doesn't work if you're not connected to God. You will not trust God if you haven't had a real relationship with God. Right? When God's word says, hey, just have faith and just believe. If you've never connected with God, if you never have had an encounter with God, that's when God has met you somewhere, right? And I don't mean like in a physical form, but hey, sometimes he could come down in a physical form. I'm not going to limit God. That's not what we do. But when you have an experience where you know God touched your life, you're able to trust God because you know he's real. Amen? I remember my brother Chamian, and every time he shares his testimony, the day it was his birthday. What year was that? 2002 or 4? 2004 in September, he got filled with the Holy Spirit. Right? Now, in this day, Pastor Nate, he asked me to pray for him, let the Holy Spirit fill him, and I was like, Pastor Nate, and I didn't say I'm not going to do it, right? Because it's in the middle of service. So I just did it. And the Spirit of God came upon Chamian. And he was crying. And one thing that Chamian says all the time is, nobody can tell me that God is not real because I've had an experience with God. Amen? That's the reason why I brought that story up. Nobody can tell me, Marquise, that God is not real because I've had an experience with God. Amen? When I've prayed, I've seen God move. I've heard his voice speak to me. I remember the first time I was like, God, I just want to hear your voice. And the first time I heard his voice, I was like, wow. Like, this is not made up. Right? And I'm just going to say this. I'm not one of the people that fall out when somebody prays for me. You know, I haven't had that experience. I don't believe every Christian has to fall out. Right? That doesn't make you more spiritual if a pastor prays for you and you end up falling out. Right? or they push you down, one or the other, right? But what I will say is you can have an experience with God from that situation, right? Sometimes you have an experience with God where God will send a prophet to speak something to you to tell you to get right. And guess what? It's the word that you needed to hear because God has been saying that to you in your quiet time. Amen. Sometimes you could just be by yourself and have an encounter with God. There's certain things that God will do to show you that he's real. But see, if I don't have a connection with God, I cannot trust in God. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. If he hasn't changed, if he hasn't renewed my heart, there's no way I'm going to trust God with all my heart. I might trust him a little bit to taste and see, like, I wonder if God is going to do something. And this is what begins to happen. When people haven't had a heart change, if God fails them, or quote unquote, let me just put that in quotes. If God fails them, if something happens bad, what they do is they begin to blame God. Right? And I'm going to say this. Even people that have connections with God begin to blame God sometimes. Job, God, why is this happening? Right? God, I thought you were in control. But the thing about Job and the thing about those who have a real connection with God, they begin to say, God, I'm sorry because I didn't trust you. I didn't trust that your plan is better than my plan. I didn't trust that your ways are higher than my ways, even though I would have loved for it to go my way at this moment. Right? This is even for people that have lost their parents. They've prayed and God takes them, right? Some people, they get upset for God and they don't want to hear anything about God for years because they didn't have a heart change, right? They didn't have an encounter. But what you must learn to do is have an encounter with God. Ask God to reveal himself to you more and more every day. Amen? To show himself forth. Then you'll be able to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. See, if you don't have a connection with God, you lean on your own understanding all the time. Right? This is how that looks. This is how it looks. When the word of God says, do not, and you'd be like, well, I don't know. I think it's okay if I do that, right? That's leaning on your own understanding. God's word says, love your neighbor as yourself. But I don't know about that neighbor. That neighbor's tripping, right? That's leaning on your own understanding. And we've all done it. This is why it's important to ask God to clean your heart, right? I'm not going to sit up here and act like every neighbor that I've had, I always loved. Some neighbors, I prayed hard, God, move them out of the neighborhood, please. Right? And when they leave, I rejoiced. But we have to learn to lean not on our own understanding. This all comes from a connection with God. Then you must acknowledge him. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Now, that won't happen if you don't believe God is real. When it's time to acknowledge, you're always talking about yourself. Man, it's me. Look what I created. Sound like King Nebuchadnezzar. I did this. I did that. You don't want to give glory to God. And guess what happens when that happens? King Nebuchadnezzar, it said he went insane. He began to eat grass like a cow. I always ask this. What in the world did they tell people that came to see the king? Because they said for a season. We don't even know how long that season was. Right? But it said at the end of the season, he looked up to God. Because undoubtedly, while he was a cow, he had some kind of connection. And realize that, man, God is creator of all things. I am just a servant, right? He is the master. His ways are higher than mine. King Nebuchadnezzar had to learn that by being humbled. My prayer is that we don't have to go through that being humbled situation, but we would just learn to be humble. Amen? Because then we can acknowledge God in all our ways, acknowledge him in all our ways. And the word of God says he will direct your path. This is important to be connected with God. Now, this is what I will say. I've seen people connected with God. And just like if we had this heater connected with God, and let's say the electricity is moving that way, but that heater decides to move this way. What can happen? It can get unconnected, right? That's what happens when you don't listen to God. People begin to get unconnected. I didn't talk about King Saul because I didn't want to get too many Sauls going last week, cutting everybody up, right? Too many Sauls. But I will say this. King Saul was connected with God at one time. Right? Matter of fact, if you look at how King Saul was chosen to be the leader for the Israelites, it was because he was prophesying. Right? There was a situation. They were being, it seemed like Israel was always like this, but they were being fought against. And the Lord spoke through King Saul, which means he had a connection, right? And he prophesied with the prophets. But guess what began to happen? He began to look at himself like, man, I could do this by myself. And then when he was supposed to wait for a prophet, maybe he got haughty, right? Maybe he was like, man, I prophesied with the prophets before. I know God told me to wait for these prophets. I'ma just do what I'ma do. Let me do me. And guess what? He lost the kingdom because of that. Because he chose to stay more connected to the people than he chose to be connected to God. What does that look like? When you're connected to people, what people say to you is more impactful than what the word of God says to you. That's what it looks like for those people that are impacted by people or connected to people. People's opinions you value higher than God's word. Right? Now, that's dangerous because one Christian rapper says, they'll hail you and then they'll nail you no matter who you are. They'll praise you and then they'll nail you. I mean, we look at that. Now, we know some of these people have messed up. Some of them we don't even know if they messed up. But TV, if they say they did something, right? If a case came out against somebody, even though they haven't been proven wrong, everybody's, oh, he's a man. We thought he was the greatest. He's just a nobody, right? Why? Because people are quick to point fingers at somebody else. I think it's because they're guilty and they just want somebody to get the blame. Right? But we must trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding. In all our ways, acknowledge God. And he will direct our path. But that once again, only comes from somebody that has a connection with God. Amen. We're going to read something that Paul spoke about in Romans chapter 12. We're going to read this whole chapter. It's not that long, only 21 verses. And then we're going to be wrapping it up. It says this. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now, if I just look at what Paul is saying here, back in the day, he was like, I'm killing all these people that said they're Christians, right? But the connection with God made him look at these people differently, right? Paul's thoughts are different now because of his connection with God. Because of Paul's connection with God, he was validated amongst the people of God. All right? Now, that's something interesting. Now, I will say this. We never discredit somebody and say that they're not going to make it to heaven. Okay? Or they're not going to be make it to heaven. We'll just stay, leave it there. But I will say this. There are some times that we need to learn how to validate people, especially leaders. Right? How do we do that? We go to the Word of God. In Timothy, it talks about what an elder, what a preacher, what a pastor's life should look like, what a bishop should look like, what these people should look like. Their lives should look like this. But sometimes we look and say, okay, he looks like the part, but he haven't bared any what? Fruit. The Bible says we all should be bearing fruits of repentance. What does that mean? That means the way that I used to live, I shouldn't be living in anymore. Amen. And Paul's life showed that fruit of repentance. Amen. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. All right. So this only happens when you're connected with God. You will not present yourself, your whole self to God if you do not have a connection with God. Amen. This is why it's important that the body of Christ, those who are in Christ, do not try to make people that have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior to act like you act. Right? You can't expect the dog to act like a person. No matter how smart the dog is, he's not a person. Right? And I'll use a different animal, okay, Jay? It doesn't matter how smart a monkey is never a person, okay? Now, why do I use that distinction? Because the people of God are different than the people of the world. There's a difference. There must be a difference. If there's no difference, then like Paul said, we are the stupidest people of them all. We should just go have a party with the people across the street, right? Because we're all going to be dead and perish in our sins, right? Or if there is no hell or heaven, then you should live how you want to live. Enjoy your time, and when you die, it's over. But since we know that God is real, Because we've had a connection with God. Once again, this is not made up, right? We had a connection with God. We've been touched by the Spirit of God. We know that He is with us. Amen. So now we live our life differently. We live as a sacrifice. That means there's things in your life that you have to sacrifice to be in position with God. Amen. There's things that you have to begin to live holy and acceptable to God. And the Bible says that's just your reasonable service. Right? That should be normal. Your sacrifice and you living holy and acceptable to God, that should be normal in your life. Just leave the door open and go. And says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Okay? It says, and do not be conformed to this world. So what we should say is we must be conformed to, if we're not conformed to this world, we have to be conformed to what? To the world that God has. God has a whole nother world. His kingdom is not like a kingdom that we've ever seen in this world. Right? So we have to be conformed to Him. And how do we do that? It says be by being transformed by the renewing of your mind. How does your mind begin to be renewed? We must be in God's word. We must learn the things that God speaks. So that when somebody says that God's word says this and it's not in God's word, you should be like, "That's what is he talking about? That's not in the Bible." Right? We should know that. But if we don't, we are led astray. Because how many of you know that everybody that gets up and shares a word from, quote unquote, God is not sharing a word from our God? Why? Because a lot of times they begin to get transformed by the world to come up with a message that's people friendly. Right? Right now we see the whole situation with the bathrooms, of all things. I think they should be able to use this bathroom. I think they should not be able to use this bathroom. We're fighting over bathrooms, right? Now let me be clear. Bathroom is somewhere where you just go to the potty and you leave, right? That's what it's supposed to be. But we made a big situation about it because people have conformed to this world. And let me tell you what happens when you conform to this world. One of the things when you conform to this world, you're going to be changing all the time. There's no solid ground. Because the thing that they said last year, it doesn't work this year. Because somebody else doesn't like it. It's not cool. Relevant. It's not current. The world is constantly changing. And really what the world is doing is it is conforming you to live a life outside of God's word. They'll slowly take everything in God's word and say, nah, that's not cool. We don't want to do that. This is why you have to watch what you watch on TV. Right? Now, people say, Marquise, that's too deep. Watch what you watch on TV. If you are reading the word of God, there should be some things that you see on TV that should shame you. That should make you say, man, I can't watch that anymore. Why? Because they're trying to get me to conform to this world. And they did that. They did that with certain agendas. That's why right now, if you watch even cartoons that my kids want to watch, I watch and I say they are trying to shove this message down our throats to the point where it becomes normal. But I'm not going to conform. My mind is already being renewed and it will be continued to be renewed. Amen. And listen. This is why it's important. It says that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If your mind is not renewed, you do not know the will of God. Okay? You don't know it because you are living for yourself. All right? When your mind is renewed, everything you learned has to be changed. Everything you learned prior to coming to Christ has to be, what is the word? It has to go through the kingdom system to make sure it is still good. Right? And anything that's not good, I should say, God, remove that from me. This is what happens when you connect with God. See, a connection with God is not just I ran into God and now I can do what I want to do. No, running into God or connecting with God should transform your life forever. Amen? Let's continue to read because, man, I'm getting excited and I barely started. It says, for I say, verse 3, through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. All right, let me continue to read this part. It says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Now, what is Paul saying there? He is saying that we all must not think we're the best, that we can do this thing by ourselves, right? One of the things that God's word does is it begins to teach us how to work together with the body of Christ. That's what connecting with God does. Why? Because God is not just, the Bible says that God is one, but God is a triune God. Amen. He connects with himself. There are certain parts that God the Father, even though he is all powerful, he chooses to let the Son do. Because how many know, since God is all powerful, he could have came and went to the cross himself. Right? If you don't limit God, that's what God can do. Right? I know people saying, oh, what? Is he making something up? No, I'm just saying God is all powerful. God is all knowing. God can do anything. He is not limited. Amen? But he sent Jesus to show the sacrifice of a father. Right? Then Jesus left, and even Jesus said, I have to go to the Father because I'm sending a helper, the Holy Spirit. All right. Let's be clear about who the helper is. And some people make up some other stuff about that helper, but it is the Holy Spirit. OK. So he said he's going to send the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus could have just stayed. He could have stayed on earth. Right. But he showed us the power of working together. Right. And check out what happens when Jesus went back to heaven. Guess what he's doing for all of us now? The Bible says he's interceding for us. He's praying for us to the Father. Not only that, anytime God sees us, he sees Jesus because he's already made that sacrifice. And if we have accepted him, we've had a connection with God. Now God sees us just like he sees his Son. Amen. But if you think that you're the man, that you're the superhero, that's not what God wants you to do. He wants you to think sober-mindedly. He also wants you to think and be humble. Amen? To realize everybody has a part. Let's keep on going. Let love be without hypocrisy. These are some instructions for a person that has had a connection with God. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. All right. Now, this does not happen. I have to keep saying this. This does not happen if you don't have a connection with God. Right. Now there's people that can be good people, but guess what? In their hearts, they're still not good. There's still things that God has to deal with them on. And if they don't let God clean their heart, then their heart is still filthy. Because most people, let's say most people that are in the world that are good, there's always something that's going on in their hearts that's still evil. Right? And the worst thing about somebody that thinks they're good is the fact that they think they don't need God. That's the worst thing. What that means is they're not humbled. Amen? It says, be kindly and affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. Prefer somebody else. All right? Not to do a job that you don't want to do. Right? Who should do that? Let's prefer Precious to do that. Right? Now, that's not what it's saying. But put them above you. Amen? And that's not an easy thing to do, right? Especially if you were always first in something, right? If you always was first in your life, the whole thing, your whole life, you were the best, you were the valedictorian, you were this, you were that, you were the cream of the crop, right? And the word of God says you need to prefer somebody else, and you're like, man, I'm not feeling that. I got to be the man, right? Well, guess what? Has to change. If you've had a connection with God, God's word doesn't change. You change. You need to get in line with God's word, right? So that you are doing what God's word says. But that only happens if you've had a connection with God. People that have not had a connection with God, they say, they read this scripture, be kind to one another and give preference to somebody else, man, that's not relevant. Right? Because Jesus said the first will be last. Oh, well, you don't want to say it like that. And the last should be first, right? Why do they do that? Because they don't agree with it. But a connection with God will change your disagreements with God. Amen? It will change your mind. That's what we're talking about. A connection with God will change your thoughts and behavior. And the only way that happens is by being connected with God. It says, not lagging in diligence, fervent in the spirit and serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patience in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, and giving the hospitality. These are just a few things that happen once you get connected with God, right? Now, if I just read this to the church, the whole body of Christ, or the people that say they're Christians, and this is their job description, but we don't look like that, there's a problem, right? Because guess what? This should be our job description. It says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Has anybody ever had somebody did something wrong to you? And I mean, the first thing you think about is, man, I can't wait to find that person in a lonely alley all by ourselves with no cameras, no evidence, right? Why do we think like that? Because that is the ways of the world. Hey, that person said that about you. You just going to let it slide? And as Christians, we're like, yeah. Man, you stupid. You fool. Man, you're the dumbest person I've ever heard. Right? My kids are really listening now. Why? Because you didn't get that person back. Right? You decided to just let it go. And guess what? That's what God's word says. But it doesn't make sense to somebody who hasn't had a connection with God. It says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. This all happens after a connection with God. We realize that God's word says this. God, humble my mind so I think on things like that are not. Excuse me. That I think on things that God wants me to think. Amen. It says, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in sight of all men. What does that mean? Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. Okay. Let me pull this up in Amplified. I just want to read verse 17 in that one. But have regard. It says, have regard for good things in the sight of all men. Maybe this means that no matter how bad somebody looks, we need to have regard that God can change them. Right? It's kind of like this. Sometimes we have a mental picture of what a Christian should look like. Right? And let's say somebody get saved, but they're not in that mental picture frame. Because how many of you know people before they get saved, they do all kind of things, right? And some of those things can't be taken away, right? Some of those things cannot be taken away. But if they get saved, God changes their heart. They might still look the same on the outward, right? But when God begins to transform somebody's heart, he changes that person. Amen? So we must always have good regard in our hearts and think good things. Amen? Instead of being the person to say, man, that, that person's just a thug. He's no good. Or this person, she's just a no good. We have to start speaking with good things in our heart. Amen. Instead of saying things like that, let us be the ones to pray. Right? Let us say, God, change their heart. I know it doesn't look like, it doesn't look that good right now, God. But God, I know that you're a good God and you can change things around. How many know that somebody had to pray for us to get saved? Amen? It says in an Amplified version, repay no one evil for evil, but take thought for what is honest and proper and noble, aiming to be above reproach in the sight of everyone. All right. So that's even our the way that we live. Let us be above reproach in all the things that we do. That means let us strive to be perfect in other people's eyes. Right. Now, there are some Christians that say, I'm just a human. I'm going to mess up. Right. And what they do is they just let their hair down and mess up in front of people. And what those people say is that's hypocrisy. Right. Now, I will say this. We are called to strive for perfection. If you mess up, we were talking about this in the Bible study. If you mess up, confess your sins. Say, dang, man, I messed up right there. Right? I didn't really say too many curse words growing up. But the times I did say curse words, I would say, God, man, forgive me for that. Right? I remember that I said this a few times about us cheating on a test in front of, you know, the teacher. He just let us cheat in these tests in this class. So I ran into the friend that told me this years ago, that he was like, you're a Christian. You're not supposed to cheat on tests. And I told him, I said, man, you know what, bro? That was very pivotal. It was a pivotal point in my life. After that, I never cheated on anything again because I didn't want my testimony to be with shame. Right. And, you know, he's like, man, what are you talking about? I barely remember that. Right. But I remembered it. And me just saying that to him, it was like, man, it was like it opened his eyes all of a sudden. He could see something. But what it shows is that I want to do the right thing to please God. Amen. I don't want to be in the wrong. Let me finish it. It says, if it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Now, see, this doesn't mean let people run over you. All right. God, the spiritual war. When you just think of spiritual war, that means they're fighting. Right. God is a fighting God. Amen. There's many scriptures that say God is a warrior. Now, we saw Jesus. Let's be clear about this. We saw Jesus come humble and serve. But when Jesus comes back, he's not going to be that same kind of person. Now, that doesn't mean he changed and he became evil. Right. But he's going to destroy anything that doesn't line up with God's word. Right. So he is a warrior. I like that. He's a warrior. We must be warriors. Now it says, if it is possible, which means, guess what? Sometimes it's not going to be possible. Right? Now, please don't take this as a license to say, man, I'm about to go knock somebody upside the head because it wasn't possible for me to live in peace with them. Right? But it says, if it's possible, as much as it depends on you, live at peace or live peaceably with all men. That means if there's a way for a fight to be stopped on your end, stop it. Right? If there's a way for you to not get angry and upset and lash out, because some people will be like, man, they've been talking. I'm going to let them have it. Right? You shouldn't do that as a believer. Just walk away. It says, beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath, For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so you will heap coals of fire on his head. Then the last verse says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. We're talking about being connected with God and how it will transform your thoughts and your behavior when you look at God's word and you say, that's my instructions. This is my job description. This is how I should be living. Amen. When people are telling you to do a whole bunch of things, you need to even ask, is that person sharing God's word with me, or are they sharing their opinion? Because their opinion should not be higher than God's word in your life if you've had a connection with God. Amen? So you say, hey, listen, look, I appreciate your opinion. And you can say it as nice as you need, as you can. You know, they're not going to like it no matter how nice you say this. Say, I really value our friendship. I appreciate your opinion. But I have to do this on my own. Right? And I have to follow the strongest opinion or the strongest statement that I know. And that's God's word. And if they don't like it, you try to live peaceably. Amen. But even with that scripture, there's going to be times where people are coming against the word of God. And we don't just shut up and be quiet about it. Right? Now, you don't always have to argue with them, but there should be a standard that we have that if somebody comes to try to switch your standard, you're not going to have it. I'm not having you coming in my house and telling me what I can do, what I can't do. This is my house. That's what my dad used to say. Now I can say the same thing. This is my house. Right? And as the word of God says, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You guys can serve yourself. You can serve whatever else you serve over there. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord because we've had a connection with God and we know that he's real. Amen.
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.